Today I want to speak just a few minutes about the changes that we're going to be experiencing over the next couple of months as we embrace a new translation of all the prayers and the songs, the ordinary parts of the Mass, the Holy, Holy, Gloria, Memorial Acclamations. All of those texts have been retranslated from the Latin, following the directive of the Pope and the Congregation for Divine Worship, a dicastery of the Vatican, and also under the leadership and guidance of the English-speaking bishops' conferences of the world. So over the course of the next 2 months, you'll be hearing a little bit more about this. Today I'm speaking about the sung texts. People ask the question, why is this happening now? Why is this translation happening now? The translation of the Mass that we're currently using was done in 1973, or completed in 1973. It was the first time that liturgy in the Catholic world was able to be celebrated in English. That translation happened in a very short period of time, over about a period of 2 years, from 1970 to 72. And it was done using a translation standard adopted by the Vatican at that time called dynamic equivalence. The best way to explain dynamic equivalence in a few words is to say that it translated concepts and ideas into the new language, but was not concerned so much about a word-for-word translation. So it's like if you're quoting something in an article, if you're going to do a direct quote, you would do direct quotations, and if you're going to paraphrase, you would put it in your own words. And so in some ways, the current translation is that paraphrasing a bit of words and concepts into a new language. Over time, the English-speaking bishops, liturgists, theologians, the Vatican, I have become concerned that we may have lost some meat of our faith in the translation that was done. So they adopted a new translation standard in 2001 called formal equivalence. The Vatican asked that all English-speaking countries would use the same English-speaking missal. So that's a pretty major event, because there are 28 countries where English is the major language. There are some 15, 16 other countries where English is a major secondary language. So we're talking about a large group of the Catholic world is now going to be celebrating Eucharist using all the same language. And part of the concern for that was to preserve a bit the universality of the Church, to preserve the fact that we are Catholic, we are one faith, one body, one spirit in Christ all over the world. So that's, in a nutshell, why this is happening now. What is changing? Practically speaking, all of the prayers that we hear at Mass, the prayers that the priest prays, opening prayer, Eucharistic prayer, concluding prayer, the musical texts have been retranslated, so the Gloria I'll go over in a minute, the Holy, Holy, Memorial Acclamations. What is not changing? The Lord's Prayer doesn't change. You don't have to learn a new Lord's Prayer. You can breathe a sigh of relief. The Lamb of God is not changing. Agnus Dei, qui tola peccati mundi, miserere nobis. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. That does not change. So we have two that we don't have to learn, okay? How will this affect our liturgy? New music. You already experienced a little bit of that with the rehearsal this morning. And this weekend, we begin using the new acclamations for the Eucharistic prayer. What does not change in this new translation is the basic structure of our liturgy. The liturgy is still the same. Gathering rites. We gather together into a community, preparing to hear the word of God. Then we hear the word of God in the liturgy of the word, proclaimed and preached in the homily. And then we celebrate Eucharist, and then we're sent on our way with a dismissal. That structure of the Mass has not changed. The theological premises behind liturgical reform from Vatican II have not changed. Basically, that the liturgy is Christ-centered, that we experience Christ in the assembly gathered together. We experience Christ in the person of the priest who leads us in persona Christi, in the person of Christ, our Catholic teaching tells us. We experience the presence of Christ in the Eucharist, the bread and wine made body and blood of Christ, and we hear Christ speaking to us when the word of God is proclaimed. Those principles have not changed. The principle of full, conscious, active participation has not changed, so that's why we had a little music rehearsal before Mass, because we want everyone to be able to sing these new Mass parts, this new music, and participate fully. And thirdly, the Eucharist is the source and summit of our life that is still ever more true today, and it's my hope that as we embrace this new translation and hear the prayers in a new way with new language, we'll embrace in a new way our faith and grow deeper in our understanding and deeper in our relationship with Christ. How do we get to this English translation? The Vatican issued and promulgated a new Missale Romanum, that is the Latin typical edition or source text for all translations. It issued the newest Missale Romanum in the year 2000. This is the third edition since Vatican II. And what are these editions? Why do they change? Well, new saints are coming into the calendar. Many saints were canonized by Pope John Paul, so they all need sets of mass prayers. And in addition, there are other prayers that have changed or been slightly edited as a result of further study, further liturgical study over the years. How do we get to a translation? There's an international body of liturgists, linguists, and bishops that have worked diligently on this translation. They worked on it from 2001, and it was approved by all the English-speaking bishops in 2009. It's taken a few years to get it to the publisher. And if any of you have published a book, you know that publishers kind of sometimes take their time. I want to go over just a few changes then, the glory to God and the holy, holy. And if you can't see so clearly in your pews, there's a little card that looks like this, a trifold card. And all of the new texts that we're going to be looking at are on this card. This weekend, I'm speaking about the musical changes, the music text changes. And next week, I'll be speaking about the changes in our spoken texts and our spoken responses. Another aim behind this new translation at this time was they wanted to make clearer the connections between the liturgy, our liturgical texts, and the scriptures from which they come. Our liturgy is very scripturally based, and many of the songs in the liturgy come directly from the scriptures. The Glory to God is a good example. The first line of the Glory to God, look, it's on page 2 of the little handout, a little flyer. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. If you remember the Christmas story, this is the song of the angels to the shepherds. The shepherds came to give homage to Jesus, and the angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to people of goodwill. In the first column, I have the current translation, and in the current translation, it's peace to his people on earth. And so, in some sense, this new translation gets us closer to the scriptural roots of this part of the liturgy, this part of the song, and also brings us closer and gives us a wider understanding of who this greeting is given to, which is not just God's people, but all people. Any person can be a person of goodwill, can receive God's blessing, can give God glory. In the second paragraph, we see those five attributes of praise that we give to the Lord. And this is looking to do a more direct translation from the Latin, which has these five attributes. If we look in the current translation, there was only three attributes of praise given to God. But in the Latin language, to say something once or twice that is of great magnitude is not enough. So in five words, we give God praise. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. Another aspect of this translation process was to bring some theological precision to our language. And the next change in the Gloria, the third change I have there, is Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son of the Father. In the early church and throughout the church's history, we have striven and worked to understand and articulate how is Jesus Son of God and how is Jesus Son of Mary. How is Jesus God and how is Jesus human? One of the ways the church has expressed that is by saying that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And so we believe no other person who lived on earth was God's Son, even though we are adopted children of God. So Jesus is the only begotten Son. Next week, when I speak about the changes in our spoken text, we'll talk through the creed a little bit, and there's more theological precision in language that was chosen for the creed. In the Holy, Holy, again, the translation has been changed just slightly. So the translation is on page 5 of your flyer. The only thing that's changing is the first line, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Hosts. This part of the song, this part of the hymn, is inspired by Isaiah chapter 6. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah has this vision of God in heaven on his throne with the seraphim and cherubim, the angels bowing down in worship and singing this song, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts." That gives us a different impression than "Holy, holy, holy Lord God of power and might," which says maybe just our God is strong, which is also true. But saying our Lord is the God of hosts, he is the God of the hosts of heaven, of angels in heaven, and also us on earth. And right prior to this song in the liturgy, the priest is praying the preface, giving us the rationale for why we give thanks. And then he invites us, we join our voices with the voices of all the angels in heaven, the saints on earth, as we sing our song of praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts. So we are joining our song to the song of the angels in heaven. A third change in our music comes in the memorial acclamations, and they've all been retranslated. You'll notice on your card on page 5 and then on top of page 6, there's only 3 acclamations. The familiar acclamation, "Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ has come, will come again," has dropped out. And this, the reason is that this was never part of the original Latin texts, even from the 1970 first edition of the Latin Roman Missal. This was composed by the English translators and the English bishops for the 1973 edition, which we use now. The Vatican asks that we drop that and we go back to the 3 acclamations that are in the actual Missal. They have been changed, the translation of them has been changed to further point us towards that moment that we are celebrating in the liturgy. The memorial acclamation, you know, comes after the words of institution over the bread and wine when they become body and blood of Christ. And then we, as an assembly, acknowledge that, and it enables us to participate in the Eucharistic prayer by singing, "We proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again, or save us, Savior of the world, for by your cross and resurrection you have set us free." It helps us focus us on this moment now when Christ is present in the bread and wine made body and blood of Christ. Other texts, as I said, that don't change: the Lord's Prayer and the Lamb of God. Praise God, right? What is the ultimate reason for doing this change? The change is always in liturgy, change is difficult. And we understand that. I understand that. I say for people my age and older, it's going to be hard to change. But hopefully, it's my hope that these prayers lead us into a deeper understanding of our faith and lead us deeper to Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Thank you.